This is Tiger Cast, the official podcast of Princeton Athletics. Now here's your host, Craig Saxon.
Welcome to the latest edition of Tiger Cast on a snowy Thursday afternoon in Princeton, which came one day after a day in the low 60s here in Princeton. So pretty wild couple days here and a pretty wild couple days coming up on the Princeton calendar. Over 30 events for Princeton, either at home or on the road, and you can follow all through GoPrincetonTigers.com, PU Tigers on Twitter. On today's show, we'll have Spencer Weiss, senior forward for the men's basketball team, as well as Zoltan Dudas, the head coach of the Princeton fencing teams, as they prepare for their Ivy League championship weekend. We'll talk about both prior to our interviews. First, a quick look at the schedule and a reminder that you can subscribe to TigerCast or all Princeton podcasts by searching Princeton Tigers on iTunes or your favorite podcast app. You'll get the TigerCast each week and then any other downloads, including last weekend's the incredible final couple minutes of that Harvard win, the comeback, the missed free throw and putback that gave Princeton that incredible one-point win at Harvard. All right, let's take a quick look at the schedule. We'll hit on some of the biggest events of the weekend. Of course, you can find the full coverage on GoPrincetonTigers.com. On Friday, a couple of home events, including the men's ice hockey team taking on St. Lawrence. They're in their final 3 weeks of the regular season. The women's team is at Clarkson. They have the tough weekend at Clarkson and at St. Lawrence, the top two teams in the ECAC and number one and two in the country. And for Princeton, right on the edge now of home ice in the ECAC first round. They're tied, actually, with Quinnipiac, their travel partner. So Quinnipiac's also at Clarkson and St. Lawrence. So real interesting to see kind of how those two teams perform. Wrestling is at Columbia, and then Saturday, their big event at Cornell could be a winner-take-all match for the Ivy title. Cornell's won 14 straight titles. That's the longest run for any team in any sport in the Ivy League. So huge wrestling weekend for Princeton. Also, the women's basketball team, after five home games to open the Ivy season, they'll make their first Ivy road trip. They'll be at Cornell and Columbia. A couple other home events to look forward to this weekend, including men's volleyball. They open their EIVA season, and they'll take on St. Francis on Friday and then Penn State on Saturday. That match always generating close to between 1,500 and 2,500 fans at Dillon Gym. Always a great event for them. And then, as I mentioned, just teams in competition all weekend. Squash, tennis on Sunday. So check GoPrincetonTigers.com for the full update. All right, let's get to our interviews. And we'll start with senior Spencer Weiss, the Ivy League Player of the Week after, for him, a brilliant performance at Dartmouth. And then certainly, if you followed this team, you know what happened last weekend. Just an unbelievable showing, an unbelievable ending for Princeton at Harvard. And then, they played the midweek game at Penn Tuesday night. And really, that was one of their most impressive performances in my mind, because you see in the Ivy League, the teams can jump out to big leads. And then, it's tough to hold those leads. You end up, the other team gets kind of claws back into the game. Penn never clawed back into that one. Just a really dominant effort from Princeton. You look at Spencer Weiss's last four games, home with Yale, at Dartmouth, at Harvard, at Penn. He's played 39, 38, 35, and 35 minutes. So he has been an anchor for this team. 26 points against Dartmouth, 22 against Penn, 13 against Harvard. Really stepping up in this critical Ivy League season. He's somebody who, he has been a constant for Princeton throughout his career, averaging over 10 points a game, averaging over 5 rebounds a game. Just somebody who has been there kind of from the start and having one of his best seasons, certainly and at the most important time, as Princeton now, as I said, 6-0, still 8 games left in the Ivy season, and then obviously the tournament at the end. But a terrific start for the Tigers. They'll host Cornell and Columbia Friday night and Saturday night. You can watch them on the Ivy League Digital Network Friday night, a special one, I'm sure, for Spencer Weiss and the members of this team, as they'll welcome back Brian Earle, currently the head coach at Cornell. Okay, let's get to our interview now with Spencer Weiss.
Spencer, before we get into, you know, the games this weekend, you know, I want to go back about a month to, you know, entering Ivy play, and you guys had, you know, you were a little above 500, you know, but kind of been up and down, had obviously a very tough schedule, but did you feel at that point like you were where you needed to be entering Ivy play, and have you even maybe performed a little better than you thought at that point?
Certainly there were some challenges in the beginning of the season, you know, losing 2 starters as well as having a very, you know, tough competitive schedule. We knew, you know, the road wasn't going to be easy. You know, we definitely didn't have this script in mind, but we feel we're at a great place right now. And I think it all started with Bucknell. We really, you know, we went out to Bucknell, played a great game, especially on the defensive end. And that's where we, you know, put a lot of our focus in the offseason. And that's kind of translated and been the base and foundation for us this year. And we really have stepped it up in this past month. And I think that's really showed, and you know, it's why we are where we are in the Ivy League standings.
The Yale game, it felt like that was one where, you know, maybe a couple times early in the season, you didn't execute down the stretch as well as you would have liked. To get that game under your belt against, you know, a Yale team that obviously goes to the NCAAs last year, did that help out with end of games? We can get there and we can handle it.
Absolutely. In the beginning of the season, we were losing all those competitive games that, you know, were coming down to the wire. We were playing 35 great minutes of basketball, and then the last 5 minutes we kind of weren't keeping up with our principles, and we didn't really know how to win. And I think that's an important aspect that every team needs to kind of learn throughout the course of a season, and it took us a little while. But once we kind of got that Yale win under our belt, we realized that we're able to finish games and play a complete 40 minutes. And I think it's, you know, kind of gone forward from here on out.
You know, people hear about, you know, playing that competitive schedule and going through it and learning how to win even when you're not winning. What does that mean? I mean, how much do you draw on things that you experienced the first 2 months, or do you learn at practices afterwards? I mean, what does a competitive schedule and tough games like that, how does that benefit you moving forward?
I think it gives you confidence that you can compete with some of the best teams in the country. And, you know, we certainly had a tough schedule, and, you know, maybe we weren't there at that stage in the season, but we feel like we're headed there or in a good place right now. And, you know, that's part of the reason why you have those competitive games mm-hmm. in non-conference. So when, you know, conference play comes around, you've been in those situations, and we really stress during practice we call it situations, and mm-hmm. we're going to be down, you know, 4 with 1.5 minutes left, find a way to win. So just practicing it, you know, throughout the season, translates into games, and we've been pretty successful as of late.
You probably haven't practiced too much down 3 with 10 seconds left and win in regulation. You know, you had obviously the memorable win over Columbia last year, but what were those frantic final seconds like last weekend?
It was wild. Certainly one of the more memorable games I've been a part of here. We were in command pretty much the whole game, I would say, and then the last, you know, 3-4 minutes, they took the lead, and we knew it was going to come down to a final few plays, and, you know, sometimes luck might play a part, and, you know, Steve, just his will, his determination, you know, from what we all suffered last year, losing there and kind of, you know, ruining our season a little bit, he wanted it so badly, kind of more than anyone else, and we were fortunate. The ball came to him, he made a great play, and we were able to win.
You're a veteran of these Ivy League Februaries where it's, you know, 2 games a weekend and, you know, that midweek with Penn at some point. This is the first year of the Ivy tournament, so you know March is going to be a little different. You know, if you get there, you got those 2 games. But at this point, does it feel the same? I mean, does the Ivy tournament come into your mind at all, or are you just playing the Ivy League schedule the way you would any other year?
I think for the most part, you approach every weekend the same. You want to go in and sweep. I mean, that's the the goal, first and foremost. But at the end of the day, I think you need to realize that if you do lose a game, it's okay. You know, there's kind of like that second chance that you didn't have otherwise. And in years past, we were playing our best basketball at the end of the season, and we took some, you know, tough losses early on. So the approach stays the same, but I think you also need to keep in mind that you need to be playing your best basketball at the end of March, regardless of your record, and hopefully you'll be in that tournament.
Let's talk about a couple of assistant coaches, one current and one former. Kerry Kittles, you were probably a kid watching Kerry Kittles playing. What's it been like? I mean, it's you know, the kind of the cool quality of having a former NBA guy like Kerry Kittles is probably long past, and now at this point he's got to be just like a regular coach. But what has he brought to this team?
He brings a great deal of passion. He really puts forth everything. He invests so much in the program. And coming from a guy who was in the league for 9 years and, you know, an All-American at Villanova, played against the best guys who ever played the game, to be so passionate, you know, with us coming in his first year as a coach, it's unbelievable. He's always willing to go the extra mile, watch film sessions, any questions we have regarding, you know, certain techniques that he used, that he liked, he's more than willing to kind of go in depth about it. So the passion, I think, and his willingness to kind of lay it all out there for us has been unbelievable, and it's been an honor kind of to play under him.
He obviously replaced Brian Earle, who is, you know, not only an assistant coach for you, but such an important member of the Princeton basketball family, and he comes here Friday night with his new team. You know, once the ball's thrown up and you know, you start playing, it's a game, but it's got to be some kind of nice feeling to know he'll be back in Jadwin.
Absolutely. I mean, he's one of the all-time legends of this program. He laid the foundation for guys like, you know, myself and others to come here. It's certainly going to be a little different to see him on the
in red,
especially, and on the opposing, you know, bench. But, you know, at the end of the day, the ball's tossed up.
Yeah.
You got to play. You got to compete. And he's a competitor. He's going to look to win, as are we. And, you know, we'll shake hands after the game, I'm sure.
You know, we're taping this Wednesday afternoon, you know, a few hours after your win over Penn. So I don't know how much film study you've done on Cornell or Columbia at this point. But, you know, you still have, what, 7-8 games left to go in the Ivy season and then the tournament. So you're still building. You're still in that process. What are some of the finer points that still need to be either corrected or improved as you're making your way towards, you know, hopefully the Ivy tournament and the NCAA tournament?
You know, there's always room to improve in every aspect of the game. But what we want to make our money on is our defense. And that's kind of brought us to where we are right now, and we feel we're in a good place. So to continue to kind of be the best defensive team in the league, it's going to carry you even when we're not able to score. And that's kind of come up throughout the season where we're having some offensive lulls. So I guess to decrease the time where we can't score, but also to have the foundation where we know we can get stops, to kind of keep us in a good position, I think those are going to be the keys going forward.
You had to feel good about that, you know, last night against Penn in a game where, you know, in the Ivy League, we've seen it a lot where a team can get out to 12, 15, 18 point lead in the first half, and the other team chips away, and you never let Penn chip away. And obviously, part of that is offense. I mean, you kept scoring, but is that an area where we can shut a team down when we get ahead of them and not let them get back in the game? That's got to be a big confidence builder.
Absolutely. Knowing you can have something to fall back on and kind of keep you focused and locked in on, you know, your defensive principles, regardless of what's going on the offensive end, knowing you're always going to be in a game because you can continually get stops, definitely gives you confidence. I think it, you know, allows you to think a little bit more clearly on offense, knowing you don't have so much pressure on yourself.
Right.
So just sticking with defense and kind of fine-tuning that is definitely going to be helpful.
I know you've wanted to win since you got here, but does it feel any different this year as a senior, or do you not let that kind of enter your psyche?
I try my best not to let it affect, you know, myself, but at the end of the day, I do know that, you know, time is limited, and the senior class, who, you know, we've been together for 4 years now, only has, you know, hopefully more than a month,
right.
But not too much more than that, regardless of what happens. So you want to make the most of it. And not to say it's desperation time, but there's a sense of urgency that mm-hmm. we need to play with if we want to, you know, achieve our goal of winning the Ivy League title, regular season as well as the tournament.
Now we'll turn our attention to fencing in the 2000 Ivy League Championships held this weekend at the University of Pennsylvania. Seven Ivy League teams heading down to Philadelphia. Dartmouth does not have a fencing program. So seven teams in competition for the championship. Princeton would be, they don't seed Ivy League teams, but if you take the national rankings, Princeton would be the second seed in both events, behind only Columbia in both. But if you look at the women's national rankings, Columbia is number one, Princeton is number two, and then the next closest Ivy League team is Penn, and they're sixth. So possibly a little tighter gap between one and two, and then a little drop off the rest of the way, although certainly we'll see this weekend. On the men's side, Columbia's the number one program in the nation, and then there's three teams under them, and then it goes Princeton, Penn, Harvard. So, you know, we'll see if Columbia is kind of the elite program in the league or kind of Zoltán Dudas alludes to this a little bit. It actually may be a little tighter pack between those four than it would be maybe in the top four of the women's draw. How it works is that each team will go against every other team in the league in Sabre, Epe, and Foyle, nine bouts apiece, so a total of 27. So you need 14 to win your match. And these have been really incredible competitions over the last few years. You know, it's you'll get your kind of blowouts from your, you know, top teams against, you know, some of the lower ranked teams, but there has been a 15-12, 14-13 match that often decides the title. And for Princeton, you could see those in the final session on Sunday. If you look at the way the schedule goes, Princeton competes four times on Saturday. They compete only twice on Sunday. Because Dartmouth is not involved in this, every team gets one session off. So Princeton will be off the first session on Sunday. Then we'll compete against Penn at 11:30, and then at 1:45, the final session of the meet is Princeton versus Columbia on both sides. And if you remember the rankings, you know, Princeton, Columbia 1-2 on each side. It's possible that is where both the men's and women's titles will be decided. Now, certainly Princeton would love for that scenario to happen because, you know, you've seen upsets on Saturday and early events and so on. I mean, these have been really exciting weekends, and no reason to expect anything less. Zoltán Dudas has led Princeton to a number of Ivy League titles, an NCAA championship in his career at Princeton, and looking for more this weekend. Let's hear now from Zoltán Dudas.
Zoltán, before we talk about your Ivy championships this weekend at Penn, you know, it's the first time we've had a chance to catch up this season. So can you just kind of talk about it? It's such a weird season that you get that long break in the middle, and then, you know, the competition last weekend, and then right into Ivy's. But overall, you know, how pleased have you been, and where does this team seem right now heading into championship weekend?
Yeah, we are over on a promising weekend. Yes, we didn't have competitions for a long period of time, and it was very useful to fence with 12 or 13 teams during the 2 days weekend, and many of them were highly seeded, and it was good to get back to the competitions, and the results were very promising on both men's and women's side. It's always hard matches with Ohio State and Notre Dame. They generally the powerhouse teams in fencing. Every year they are doing very well on the NCAA championship, and they have a huge depth. They have a huge roster, and we did a pretty good job against them. I was pleased against Ohio with Manzappe, who could actually beat them, and They actually beat all the top teams 7-2 or more, and we could beat them, so that was a very, very good thing. Overall, I think Men's Sabre stepped up a lot and showed a good performance. In Women's Sabre, all four girls equally performed well, and that's very, very promising, because giving us more options to find the matching pairs. Epe in the women's side, they did well, as usually expected. That's usually traditionally our strongest weapon. We had a little downtime against Northwestern, I think, but in such a usual long tournament is almost normal, and that's why it's very good that the other squads could help out, and we could win that match as well.
We head into this weekend. Let's start with the women. You're ranked second nationally. Columbia is ranked first. You beat them head-to-head earlier in the year. Does it feel like, and the two of you compete in the final match of the entire weekend, does it feel like, you know, that's probably the match that comes down to it? And when you look at those matchups, kind of how do you feel about them?
Yes, we fenced earlier with Colombia, and we showed a strong performance there, although they were missing some of their players, and that might not giving the full picture. On the other side, I think we improved a lot since then, and if the different weapon dynamics working well, I think we have a shot to beat them on the weekend.
You know, you mentioned, you know, with the competition last weekend, that you can have down moments. How important is it to make sure that, you know, they'll know that that Columbia match is there Sunday afternoon, but to make sure that they're, you know, you have four matches, you have that full Saturday schedule. How do you make sure that mentally, physically, they're in it all four of those matches and never at any point looking too far ahead?
It is very hard. The first criteria to be able to handle this situation, to having a longer bench. What I do have in on a women's side right now, because two Olympians just returned, so that's added two more people to the roster. And we were a little bit originally bigger on the women's side, so I have a little more options on the women's side. But on the men's side, we are very, very short in some weapons. Actually, in men's saber, we just have the three guys. And obviously, it's not much of an option. They're helping tremendously each other to stay all the way positive, and you know, when we're losing a bout is history from that point. And we're learning from that, and trying to focus for the next one. Each of the squad, each of the individual of the team, kind of having the play against each of the opponents. We did the video analyzing. We, you know, evaluate every possible options there, and hopefully we will be able to perform. Many times the timeout can make some different. We can ask once in each bout a timeout. This is possible during the season and in the NCAA in Ivy League championship, but we can't use, unfortunately, this on the NCAA finals. So it's a thing what can help in this particular situation.
On the men's side, you know, it seems in the last 4 or 5 years, it's very hard to go 6-0, and one of these championships are coming down to a 14-13 last touch. Does it, you know, I know Columbia is the highest seed, top-ranked team in the country, but, you know, you mentioned before we started that this looks like a bit of a closer packed field on the men's side. Does it feel like this is one where it's another 14-13 somewhere that's going to win somebody a title?
I don't think that it matters that much what happened in a season before, and you could make much of a prediction based on that. Ivy Championship is a different animal always, and each of the teams investing like, you know, 100 times more to this weekend than any of the seasonal dual meets, and every team can be very, very dangerous. And if you are not professionally approaching every opponent and not respecting every opponent, even the bottom teams could surprise you. You really need to be focused all the way. The men's field is extremely close in any meaning.
Does it, because you have, you don't have that break on Saturday, you get, you know, one fewer match on Sunday, but competing four times on Saturday, does it make you a little nervous, or do you like it that, look, you know, this is day one, you have to be focused, you know what's ahead of you, you trust the maturity of this team to kind of be able to go through that whole day?
I think it doesn't make much of a difference. You know, this schedule is given, so like, it's not under our control, so it's senseless to spend much time with it. I think the schedule is not bad because we are fencing in the first round, so I think the only difficulty with this schedule, I think, when you are not fencing in the first round, and after that it's a lunch break and everybody already fenced and you didn't. So Harvard, I think, has a little disadvantage not fencing in the first round, and hopefully we will be warmed up and being careful with the lunch break, keeping everybody warm and really pumped up. I hope that we can have a good match both men's and women's against Harvard, and I think we have a good shot. If we're going to be undefeated in Thursday, I think it's a very, very good start, very motivating, and you can see the end line. Next day is just two matches, what is like mentally very demanding, but physically might be a little bit less. Also, we have first round break on the second day, so you can rest a little bit more. I think everybody can go very motivated for the second day, and I think that's what the schedule is, and I think we can use it well.
TigerCast is a production of the Princeton University Athletic Department. You can subscribe to TigerCast on iTunes or catch new episodes every week by visiting goprincetontigers.com/TigerCast.